Hey, you guys, time for another Tomes of Terror book review. And again, I'm doing another one that is actually free to read on Kindle Unlimited if you have a Kindle Unlimited membership. This one, man, I can't believe that it has taken me this long. This is another one of those authors, just like Michael McDowell, who's an American author, that it just took me an embarrassingly long time to get around to. This is a writer named Graham Joyce, and he was a British writer. He sadly passed away in 2014 of cancer. Died actually fairly young. He was only 59 years old. But he's written several novels, as well as like a shit ton of short stories. And he'd won like all kind of awards. And for whatever reason, he just never, you know, he was never on my radar. And now that he is, I'm just kind of like, where the fuck, how could I not have known, like, who this guy was? Because I really, really like, I mean, this book in particular. Actually, I was reading some reviews of this where someone who had met the author, you know, before he died, obviously, asked, like, which of your many novels should I start with? And the author himself apparently recommended this one. This is called The Tooth Fairy. Now, I know that there was a movie, there's probably been more than one, but I know there was kind of like a horror movie that was called The Tooth Fairy that came out in 2006. This book is nothing to do with that. Interestingly, though, this book actually came out in 1996. It was his fifth novel, I believe. And it was actually optioned for a movie. And I think he did write a screenplay or actually like wrote a couple versions of a screenplay for it. And I think a couple of his other novels were optioned as well. But as far as I'm aware, as of this recording, I don't think any of his novels have been made into movies. And that really kind of needs to be rectified, like, right now. Because this was a great fucking book. I loved this book so much. And this was another one that I just, like, sat and read entirely in one sitting. Like, the whole time going, like, how did I never hear of this guy before? It's like, it's a crime. I don't know where I've been. I've just been sleeping on it. So I will say, though, this, and this apparently is true of, like, a lot of Graham Joyce's stuff, his writing is not super classifiable in the sense that it usually falls into the wide umbrella of fantasy, dark fantasy, that kind of thing, but a lot of his stuff is really, you can't really put a, you know, you can't really get a handle on exactly what genre it is. And this book, The Tooth Fairy, is no exception. It's usually marketed as horror, which it is to an extent, but it's more like a magical realism coming of age story with a lot of kind of dark aspects to it. Kind of gave me the same kind of vibe as like Boy's Life by Robert McCammon or, you know, Stephen King's The Body, you know, that Stand By Me was based on, you know, Ray Bradbury, like Something Wicked This Way Comes. It kind of gave me that sort of vibe about growing up, like boys growing up, and then there being like kind of magical stuff going on. It was just kind of like how children deal with like the darkness of life. So this book very much has that vibe, and I mean, I was really into it, but don't go into it thinking that it's going to be, I mean, there is, the Tooth Fairy is in it, and the Tooth Fairy is kind of like a monster, but, and it does like kind of factor into the plot and factor into a lot of things, but it's not a straight up like horror monster. It's a lot more ambiguous than that, and most of it is based around the characters and about their sort of like journey through adolescence and how they kind of like deal with all of these changes and all of this, you know, all of these kind of dark things that are happening around their life. Now, I think this novel actually won the August Derleth Award for Best Novel in 1997. And it was also nominated for the International Horror Guild Award for Best Novel in 1998. And as I said, I can totally see why. I will say the prose in this is gorgeous. It's so immersive. It's just, you can, and I saw this other reviewer say this too, it's like just reading the book, you can see it, you can smell it. It's just everything, just the way he describes things is just so, so gorgeous, and it's just so immersive. And it's very, another word that comes up a lot, I saw it on in several unrelated reviews, was earthy. And they meant that in the sense that there's, like, vulgarity in it. Like, some of the... Because a lot of the characters, they start out very young. They're only, like, 5, 6, 7 years old. And it kind of goes on until they're, like, 18, 19. But it does deal a lot with, you know, kids coming into their sexuality, how they perceive things, particularly boys. It's almost all... most of the main characters are boys. And, you know, so their burgeoning sexuality and how they approach that, how they deal with it. So it is... I don't know if I would necessarily give it to a young kid to read. It's not a YA novel. I'm not saying that, because some pretty dark shit does happen. Although, you know, I guess dark shit happens in YA novels. But I don't see why somebody like a tween couldn't read it. You know what I mean? It is very vulgar. There is a lot of swearing in it. There is a lot of, sexual language. But I don't know. I don't think I would have a problem with, like, a 12 or 13-year-old reading it. But, you know, your mileage may vary on that. Because a couple of the reviews I saw said, well, you know, there is a lot of bad language and a lot of vulgarity. And like I said, fucked up shit does happen in this big time. So, just know that going in. If you're thinking about giving this to, like, a pre-adolescent or something like that, it's kind of like a gray area, I'm guessing. Even though I think that particularly boys, but girls too, could get a lot out of this. You know what I mean? Because it does kind of approach, even though it is set, a long time ago, it was set in the 60s, but there's still a lot of stuff in it that's really, like, relatable to just growing up in general. So, you know, but as I said, your mileage may vary on that. So the main character of this book is a boy named Sam Southall. Now, this takes place, as I said, I don't think they ever say what year, but you can determine, like, from context clues, like the music they're talking about and stuff, that it starts out in and around, like, the 60s, maybe, like, the early to mid 60s, I'm kind of saying, like, from all the music they're talking about. So Sam, at the start of the book, is 5 years old. And he lives with, his parents, and he has, like, friends and stuff, and they live in Coventry in England. Now, at the very beginning of the book, Sam and two of his little friends, Clive and Terry, who also, I think, live on the same street as him, or, you know, live nearby anyway, they're kind of hanging out at this little pond that they hang out at all the time. And in this pond, there's a big pike, you know, like a big fish. And on pretty much the first couple of pages, Terry, who I believe is also 5 years old, gets two of his toes bitten off by the pike. And so there's kind of like the pike being in this pond. It's almost kind of like a symbol of, this is a very kind of, I don't know, like a Jungian kind of symbolism. There's a lot of that kind of stuff in there. Not in any kind of, you know, pretentious way or anything, but it's there if you want to, you know, pick up on it, of this kind of like wildness or something that's like lurking just under the surface. So for a while after he loses both toes, you know, the boys keep going back to this pond and seeing if they can find this pike and, like, and kill it and stuff. But that's kind of something that was going on in the background. And it's also, the boys' toes getting bitten off is also kind of, like, a precursor of, like, loss. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of that going on, like, how people deal with loss. And particularly in the character of Terry, who has some even more fucked up shit happen, like, later on. After that little episode, Sam gets, like, loses one of his teeth or gets one of his teeth knocked out. They're, like, you know, messing around as boys do. So basically, he's like, they talk about the tooth fairy, and one of the other kids says, no, you know, that's, the tooth fairy's not real. It's just, like, your parents leaving the quarter. And then one of them has an older cousin named Linda. She's a couple years older. And she says, well, there's, like, a really easy way to prove this. Why don't you not tell your parents that you lost a tooth and then put the tooth under your pillow? And then if you get money, then you'll know that the tooth fairy actually exists, which is actually a pretty good idea. So Sam decides to do this. He doesn't tell his parents that that his tooth fell out. And, you know, so he puts the tooth under his pillow. Now he wakes up in the middle of the night and finds that his window in his bedroom is open, and he sees a little shadowed figure in the corner of his room. Now, if you're thinking this is just like some tooth fairy, like some Tinkerbell looking shit, this is not what this is. This fairy is very much like the old school kind of mythological fairy, in the sense of being kind of like, not a demon, but sort of like a trickster, and kind of grotesque. And because he wakes up and sees the tooth fairy, The Tooth Fairy, who is actually, like, pretty scary, like, to start with. It's kind of, like, about the same size as a kid, but looks kind of, like, grotesque, like, with these, all its teeth are, like, filed down to points, and it wears these kind of, like, tights slash pants that are, like, mustard and green, which I didn't realize at the time until later on. I was like, oh, that's the same colors as the pike, like, the fish that bit off Terry's toes, like, at the beginning. So that was something I didn't pick up on until later, and I was like, well, duh, okay. So he sees this Tooth Fairy. And the Tooth Fairy, who is kind of a foul-mouthed, androgynous creature, at first, Sam's like, he can't tell if it's a boy or a girl, because he asks it, and it gets, like, really mad at the question. Later on, like, at, you know, it'll start to, because it can sort of shapeshift, kind of. But it seems, like, really upset that Sam has seen it, and it's like, well, now we're both in trouble, because, you know, usually... Yeah, the kids don't see me, and now we're both in trouble. That you never really find out, like, why the Tooth Fairy would be in trouble specifically because a kid saw them, but it's just, like, this whole thing. So, because he sees the Tooth Fairy, like, the Tooth Fairy takes his tooth and gives him, you know, like, some money or whatever, and from then on, Sam has sort of, like, a weird, contentious relationship with this creature. He doesn't really have a lot of control over where it turns, like, when it turns up. But as time goes on, and as I said, this is mostly, like, a coming-of-age story, so you kind of have a thing with Sam and his friends and their shenanigans, like, all the stuff they're getting into, and then, you know, stuff going on with the Tooth Fairy, and you're never entirely sure, and this is kind of like a spoiler, and honestly... Okay, so this book came out in 1996. I will say, because I didn't even read the blurb for this or anything. I was just kind of like, oh, that's, you know, that looks kind of cool, like the cover. And it got really good ratings. And I saw some recommendations from some other authors that I liked. So I was like, all right, I'll give that one a shot. Because like I said, it was on Kindle Unlimited for free. And so I think this is one of those books that it's better to go into it not really... expecting anything, like, just kind of let it. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of like that with all books, but I mean, specifically, I just liked better that I had no idea where this was going. I will say, don't expect it to be a straight up horror novel. That's the only thing I'm going to say, but it's better not to know, like, all this stuff going in. So if you don't want to know anything about it, then you should probably, like, stop the video and go read it. But because I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but I am going to, like, talk about what happens in it at some points. So you've been warned. But, so over the time, like, as these kids kind of get older and go through all of these shenanigans, Sam's relationship with this creature is, you know, becomes ever more complicated. And it's left ambiguous on purpose as to whether this creature, the Tooth Fairy, is real or is a product of Sam's imagination. Because, I mean, and there's evidence on both sides, because at some point, Sam, like, his parents actually do send him to a therapist, and the therapist, I actually really like the scenes, like, with him in the therapist thing. It's just, I don't know, it was, like, really funny to me, but he doesn't seem like he has any other kind of, like, mental problems. He seems to have his shit together. You know, he doesn't have any other... you know, any other kind of symptoms of somebody that would be, like, hallucinating or that would be this imaginative that would make up this whole quote-unquote imaginary friend. And there's also some points in the novel where it seems that the Tooth Fairy can do things outside of Sam's, you know what I mean? But it's kind of left ambiguous, like, oh, maybe Sam could have done it, but then sometimes not, because I do kind of feel like maybe one of his other friends, like, I think Terry, actually, it's suggested that they see the Tooth Fairy, like, themselves at some point. But as I said, it's sort of left ambiguous. And I think that that was good that that was done, because you could just say that the Tooth Fairy was, like, a manifestation of Sam's id, you know, if you want to call it that. Or it could absolutely be, like, a real fairy creature that he has somehow become tied to because, for whatever reason, he was able to see it when most people couldn't see it. So, pretty early on, and as I said, his relationship with this creature is very complicated, because at first, it seems very The creature seems quite hostile. As I said, very vulgar and swearing, and just like, I can't believe you saw me. And he's like angry and, you know, threatening him. But then as time goes on, the creature almost starts to like help Sam out. Like at one point, he tells Sam, he's like, you need to have your friend Terry like sleep over at your house tonight. Absolutely do it. Don't like let that not happen. He has to be here. And so he's like, okay, why? But, you know, the creature's like, no, just do it. Just trust me. So he does that. And then it turns out that while Terry is staying at his house, Terry's dad, who has been kind of like a little bit of a character, he's like an inventor, and there's kind of this whole thing going on with that. Terry's dad like flips out and shoots his wife, the two other, they had like twin babies, and himself. So it was like a family massacre. And Terry was spared because the Tooth Fairy told Sam, you know, that Terry needed to stay at his house. So the Tooth Fairy does like help him out in some ways like that. So it kind of goes through, as I said, it starts out when Sam is 5 and goes through him and his friends' lives, I think until they're about 18 or they're going off to college or university or whatever. So they're like 18, 19, 20 at that point. So it kind of, you know, skips ahead like several years here and there. But the way it's done is like really organic. So it does kind of go through their whole like burgeoning sexuality thing, because when they get a little bit older, the three boys start hanging out with this girl named Alice, who's a year older than they are. And she's a lot more mature. And it's almost kind of like all three of them, you know, on a different timeline, sort of fall in love with her, but she's kind of like keeps all of them at arm's length type of thing, like saying she has this older boyfriend, but she still hangs out with them. So a lot of it having to do with Sam's sort of like, you know, awakening sexual feelings. And as that happens, like as he starts to go through puberty and stuff, the Tooth Fairy starts to change too. As I said, at first, it's kind of like, It's not really like either male or female. It's just like a creature and you can't really tell. But as Sam gets older, it starts to take on more of a female form, even though it's still sort of grotesque. But another thing about it too is that it can also, like as he gets older, it can also change itself into, whatever girl he wants it to look like. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, he has a crush on Alice, or he has a crush on his friend's cousin, Linda. And he's like, well, I want you to look like Linda. And then he can like have sex with it. So there's that. And then the thing about it too is that the Tooth Fairy also gets jealous of like these other girls. So like I said, it's this really complicated relationship that he develops over the years with this fairy, with this creature that like kind of just turns up at inopportune times or opportune times, depending on what. Like I said, he doesn't seem to have any control over when the fairy turns up. It just kind of turns up whenever it wants to. And there's one particular scene where, and this kind of happens, this probably happens about, I don't know, like a quarter or a third of the way in, and sort of casts a shadow over a lot of the remaining book until it's kind of resolved near the end. But the boys kind of get in trouble for they get accused of like trashing this kind of like horse, a horse jumping ring or something like that, which they didn't do, but they get accused of trashing it. So they get sent off to like Boy Scouts, and while they're at Boy Scouts, there's this other boy there who's like bigger and older than them, who is always kind of like bullying them and shit. And they're off at these, at this scout outing. And the boy pretty much is, so like I said, this is why, if you don't want your kids reading it, because the boy is for real gonna like rape Clive, like he has him tied down and everything. And so there's this thing where it seems as though the Tooth Fairy comes and saves everybody, like comes through there, and it's suggested that other people saw what happened too, but then some people were like, no, it was just Sam that did it. And so they think they killed this kid for like a really long time, and like, you know, so they buried him and like stuck him in a tree or something like that. So him being like thinking he's a murderer is kind of a thing that goes on throughout the book as well, until, like I said, it's kind of resolved later on. But as I said, this is, Honestly, this is one of my favorite books I think that I've read recently. It reminded me very much, it gave me the same kind of feeling that Boy's Life by Robert McCammon gave me. Although this one was a little more fantastical. As I said, it's kind of more, I don't want to necessarily say magical realism. And it's interesting because he does get called a magical realist sometimes, but he actually kind of disputed that. He's like, well, he's like, I kind of feel like a lot of these types of books, like that I write, because this was, I was reading an interview with him, and he said a lot of these kind of books that I write, particularly horror novels or even dark fantasy, where there's magic in the world, but it's like you're fighting against it. He's like, I very much grew up with a sense of magic just being like a part of the natural order of things, and it not necessarily being either good or bad, just another thing that's there. And so it's just like another thing that you have to deal with. So hearing him, like, or reading him that he said that, I was like, that makes a lot of sense with this, because as I said, the fairy in this is not necessarily a monster. It's grotesque, and but it can be beautiful too, and it fucks with him and does fucked up stuff. Like, it plays pranks on him, it threatens him, like, it hurts him, but it can do awesome stuff too. And a lot of times it's very loyal and it saves him from various things. So it's just like this really complex relationship that he has with this creature, which is, I kind of feel like the underlying thing of this is almost kind of like, and this goes back to what I was saying about this being very earthy or being very like wild, you know what I mean? In the sense of like nature being this kind of like wild, chaotic force, and you just kind of like going along for the ride or learning how to deal with it, like, as you're growing up. And that gave me very much of this kind of vibe. And as I said, like, the prose is gorgeous. I really, really liked all the characters. I mean, the characters were very, very well drawn, especially Sam, who's like the main character, but the other characters were as well. They all had their own kind of things going on. Like, you had Clive, who was a gifted kid, and so, all of the stuff that goes along with that, where they tried to like put him ahead in school and it wasn't really going as well, and all this other stuff. And then Terry, who, obviously, when he was 5 or 6 years old and his whole family was wiped out by his dad in a murder-suicide, and so he's kind of fucked up, and how he kind of deals with things. And it was just, and the, all of the boys' relationship with Alice, and the kind of little petty jealousies and shit like that. And then Sam also, his relationship with his therapist, and him, his relationship with the fairy. And it was just kind of this whole patchwork of, just, I don't know. It was just like a gorgeous, like, slice of life, coming of age type story that also kind of had a creature in it. And I don't know. I just really, really loved it. As I said, I kind of feel like I read some reviews of this on Goodreads, and most of the people like adored it. A lot of people said that they had read it a long time ago, like back in the 90s when they were younger, and they reread it again, like now when they were older, and they said, oh, they had like so much more like a deeper understanding and appreciation for it. And I can totally see this being one that you would reread like every few years. Just like I said, much like Robert McCammon's Boy's Life, which this does kind of remind me of a little bit. But I think the people that didn't like it were people expecting it to be a horror novel, like something more like, because I don't want to say, oh, like Stephen King, because Stephen King wrote The Body, and this is kind of like that too, even though The Body wasn't really supernatural, and this definitely had supernatural elements, even though it's left ambiguous, as I said, as to whether the fairy is real or not. It doesn't really matter if the fairy is real, because Sam perceives it as real, and that's just kind of like where you're coming from with it. I think maybe people expected it to be more like the 2006 horror movie, which was called The Tooth Fairy, which I it's weird because I was like, they did make a movie of that, right? I knew it wasn't based on this book, but I'm pretty sure I had seen it, and I went and read the Wikipedia synopsis. I'm like, yeah, that sounds familiar. I think I did see that. I mean, so you could see, because I think in that movie, the Tooth Fairy was like was it a ghost or like somebody that was like collected teeth? So it was more of a straight up horror monster type of movie. And so I think maybe people were expecting that from this, and this is really not like that. As I said, the Tooth Fairy is a creature, and it is grotesque, and some fucked up shit happens in this, but it's more like a dark coming of age story. Like I said, it's kind of more like it's Ray Bradbury or somewhere around there. So if you like that kind of thing, then you will probably really, really love this. I mean, I thought this was fantastic. And honestly, as I said, I'm just amazed that I hadn't heard of Graham Joyce up until now, but I will definitely be reading more of his stuff in the future. I'm just, sad that he's no longer with us. He passed away several years ago, and that sucks. But now I'm kind of excited because apparently I've got like all these this new author that I'm really into, and so I'm gonna have to start getting some of his other books. If you guys have read any of this other stuff, and you want to recommend any of them to me, like tell me which ones are the best, then please do that in the comments. And if you've read this one, also let me know what you thought about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Tomes of Terror book review. I will be back on the next one. Bye.